Welcome to a special episode of GeoTalk for March 2011. This is episode 70. Now, normally we're a monthly podcast, but every now and again we get a little bit of extra content that we happen to squeeze in between episodes. And this one is thanks to Alan, Radio Nut 50 over in New Zealand. And he's got a recording of a fairly special milestone that was hit over in New Zealand just recently. Now, some of you long-time listeners will recall that back in late 2009, we spoke to Rats and Steba, who had just broken the Australian record for the most number of caches found in a 24-hour period. And they did that with Big Matt and Shell and Farmer Frenson back on the 17th of October 2009 with 209 caches found. Well, strap yourself in, because for the next 15 minutes we're going to have a listen to a group of Kiwi geocachers who are going to give that record a red-hot go.
Hi again from Radio Nut 50 in Hamilton, with some caching news from New Zealand. Well, it's important we really do take the moment now to acknowledge the tragedy and the ongoing disaster being experienced in Christchurch with the major earthquake. All of our countries with you, friends from Canterbury, we certainly wish you as speedy a recovery to a normal life as is possible. Today, though, I've got a mind-blowing caching experience to report for this month. After many weeks of planning, a team, brought together by keen cacher Richard, known as Zorgon, made an attempt on the New Zealand and Australian record for the number of caches found during one day. While chatting about his plans a while back, I realised that my own fitness was probably not up to the rigours of such an effort, so I offered to join the team as a non-caching driver. The group was assembled, and many individual and collective evenings were spent planning, with a go date of the 27th of February. Unfortunately, during the week before, the devastating earthquake in Christchurch struck, and one of our members, Wayne of the Freezer Mice, was whisked south to the disaster zone to work in the emergency teams. And then one day before go time, another keen member, Bruce, known as Bogues, decided to experience a ruptured appendix instead and spent the eve of the trip on the operating theatre, in the next few days lying flat on his back in hospital. We're much relieved to know now that he's on his way to recovery again, after a second visit to hospital though. But the team became a little bit smaller. So after some discussion and messages from our members afar, our plans remained and we went for it. To keep the tally high, no stops were envisaged from midnight Saturday the 26th until midnight Sunday the 27th. So a two-person driving team was selected, and our task was to deliver the participants as close as possible to the cache in our hired 13-seater bus, and then get it turned around and ready to rush off for the next one while the search was on. I've done a few thousand caches in this hobby, but this experience was something really different. Firstly, a large van is not a really good cache-mobile. The overlength, making quick cache-style U-turns, not too easy. And then the need to park in some reasonably dodgy spots to get close to GZ saw the bus bouncing up interesting curbs and crossing over some no-stopping lines every now and again. My co-driver was an unsuspecting workmate, Rukshan, who'd heard a little about geocaching, and he said he was keen to help out with our adventure. So the team headed off from Hamilton up to Auckland and checked into some rooms of a motel, supposedly for a rest on the Saturday evening. And then around 11:30, we were off. So here's a quick clip recorded on the way to the first cache.
Righto, it's now 11:45 and we're on the way to our first waypoint. We've got to know where to go. You're going to the right, Rukshan. I'll start that up in a minute. So that way, if you can. And so I'll just pass you Zorgon. Richard, can you tell us what we're up to?
What are we up to? We're actually not quite sure. We've only had an hour or two sleep. And most of us probably ready to go to bed instead of start caching, but The plan tonight is to see how many caches we can get in a 24-hour period. So we're going to start in about half an hour's time, or at midnight anyway, and go through till midnight Sunday night, and we'll see how many we get. I don't know how many we'll get. We'll find out.
Next, there's a couple of recordings made during the trip. We can hear the team leader reading out from the notes gleaned during these homework sessions from the case listings and logs, the co-driver giving instructions to the driver, and the newbie telling us what to do in the background.
You're in?
Yep.
We're off down to Queen Street and then turn right.
ID number 19. Rounding up the herd.
The bottom of the hill.
Parking there in there.
Verified camera approaching.
Track access to the park appears to be downstairs of Merrill Drive End.
Oh, yeah, Myers Park.
Merrill Drive at Queen Street End. Found the cache by first finding the pencil on the ground below. Had to pace out the last 10 metres and bingo, there was the cache. Securely attached and camoed. Thought it would be near the goats. Nope, I could see the cache from 20 metres away. The hint is spiky end, it's a micro, and we're going to have to walk 60 metres. And we think it's down some, yeah. Walking down some stairs.
Yeah, this is below there.
Sorry.
So
if you're looking at the photo,
okay, we're going to turn right, bottom of the hill.
So the photo's wrong, sorry guys.
Drive 110 metres.
The left-hand right photo's correct.
Turn right on Queen Street.
The hint is rain may go here. We're right outside a building. So it's probably in a drain or something. It's a micro-sized cache. It's a 50-metre walk to this cache. And then we've got a 180-metre walk up to the next one, which is what to do while hubby is the rugby. And Mark, can you take 2 pages, please?
So this road curves to the left and then we turn right quite quickly. No. Okay, you've got 100 metres to go.
Next, Rukshan and I had a chat in the van while we're waiting for a team to come back after a search.
Right, it's now just on 4 a.m. We're about 47 caches into our run at the moment. And so I thought I'd have a chat here. Rukshan, you're sitting here next to me driving the van. You're not even a geocacher. What do you think you're doing here?
Well, I'm not really doing a lot, actually. I'm just taxing these guys around Auckland and... So far I'm keeping my wits about me with the lack of traffic, but we'll see how that goes about 5 or 6 hours from now.
Are you having fun?
So far it's been actually quite entertaining watching these guys run around like lunatics in the dark, but once again we'll see how I'm going closer to the end of this and when we're all a bit tired and everything's a bit slower and it's all a bit of a struggle.
Okay, so we'll see how our numbers go and our timing goes as the evening as the morning continues. Well, it's just after 9 o'clock in the morning and Rukshan and I are sitting in the van having dropped off some mad caches who rushed up a walkway. We're actually watching them in the distance and looking a little unsuccessful this time. So far we've found a total of 112 caches and 3, wasn't it Rukshan? 3 DNFs.
Right.
So this might be the fourth, but that's a fairly good DNF to find ratio. The sun's come out, she's nice and warm, which is pleasant for some, sitting in cars with air conditioners, and it's going to get a little hot for our searches. But at this stage, we're way ahead of the average rate we thought we would be, and so it's been a pretty successful day.
So as the day wore on, our team kept finding caches, and then came the moment when we went past the record.
It's now 5 minutes past 5 in the afternoon here in a beautiful sunny Auckland city day. We've got a bunch of 8 interesting characters surrounding me who've just spent, well, whatever new many hours it is between midnight and now, caching continuously. 17, they reckon. 17 hours continuously caching. And we're pretty happy with ourselves. Come on, tell us, everyone, how many caches have we found today?
211.
So far.
We're 211 cases, and according to our statistics, that means that we've beaten the Australasian record for a number of cases found on a day.
And we've got 7 hours left
to do it, which has surprised us, hasn't it? So what do we call ourselves as a caching team? We are the...
YK-Shows.
So everyone should remember that.
So after a good night's sleep, I sat down with Richard on the morning of the 1st of March and asked him, how did it go?
It did exceptionally well, actually. We managed to get 262 caches in just under 24 hours. I think we finished at about 11:40 p.m., still had 20 minutes to go. I was probably the weak link in that respect because of sore legs and barely crawling to cases, let alone walking to them. But we had a plan, spent a few months planning this thing, and then we executed it. And both sides of that equation went extremely well. We had a fantastic team. We had two drivers, Alan and Rukshan, who took it in turns, and a team that was very complementary with all different sort of skills. And it just went perfectly, really. Great night.
So the whole event went well. The weather treated us well.
Yes, it was fine weather. We were a bit concerned doing it this time of year that it could get fairly hot. But it was, I don't know what sort of temperatures we got, but it was probably low to mid-20s during the daytime, and at night it probably didn't go down below about 17 degrees. It stayed fine the whole time. Just drank lots of fluids and ate snacks. Some nice muffins that Julie made, plus some really cool little snack bags, things like Red Bulls and tin coffee, which I never heard of before, and little snacks we'd eat along the way.
I think there was a lot of caffeine passed around the van a few times, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a few signs of excessive caffeine late in the evening, but we won't go there.
So all in all, no major injuries and everyone survived and we've got a pretty good total.
Exactly right. Yep, a few scratches, bruises and blisters. There was that one incident with the wasp nest, but which was amusing for someone like me who wasn't the one that got stung, but when one person stood on a wasp nest late in the evening, that started a mass exodus of ground zero. But coincidentally, at that same time, while one person was racing out there stripping all his clothes off, another team member managed to put his hand on the cache so that he wasn't going to let any wasp deter him, so he still managed to open the cache and put our sticker on the log while everyone else is still in the process of evacuating the area. So that was amusing to some, not for some others.
I heard stories of head torches just showing this cloud of wasps heading after Mr. Krypton,
yeah,
as he evacuated the area fast.
Exactly.
Lost to hear that a pair of glasses still remains somewhere in that bush.
Oh, yes, Cornello, yes, he left his glasses behind and
so
decided it wasn't a smart idea to go back for them.
Maybe the next cashier will find that. Okay, Richard, are we going to do it again?
Not for me, but I think we've set a good target for the next person. It's in some ways it's getting easier for people, the way the cache density keeps on increasing all the time. But it's also getting harder in that, you know, you've actually got to physically visit a large number of caches now, and so it's turning more into a physical event. You need probably a lot of guys that are very physically fit, I think, to start doing these things properly now with the big numbers.
And the average time per cache?
The average time per cache was about 5 minutes and 45 seconds, I think we calculated in the end.
So that's the time from getting out of the van, go find the cache, log it, back in the van, drive to the next one and out again.
That was the total time divided by the number of finds, and so that also included, you know, any DNS we had, so it's time between finds.
So that's a pretty good challenge for someone to get faster than that on just about anything.
Yeah, hopefully we've set a good target. Someone will beat it, and I'm sure it won't be too long, but it's a heck of a lot of fun if someone wants to give it a go.
So that's how the team called the YK Shows, made up of Zorgon, Krypton 2, Quinella, Guano Gerbil and Geo Cooley, with a last-minute member, Oh My Gosh, joining us. And with the thoughts afar from our members, the Freezer Mice and the Bogues who couldn't make it, they managed to set a record. Overall, we travelled around 330 kilometres in the vehicle from the start to the finish, and the searchers walked around 13 kilometres. So with that detail, it's now back to you, Darren.
Thanks very much, Alan, for that pretty comprehensive report on a new record being set in Australasia for the most number of caches found in a 24-hour period, 262. It's quite a mark and well above the 209 that was set back in Adelaide in October 2009. So it's over in New Zealand hands. I suppose now it's time for the Australians to group together and see if they can claim it back from the Kiwis. We'll no doubt hear about a record attempt in the not-too-distant future. Now, as Alan mentioned at the start of his report, Christchurch, which is a fairly big geocaching city down there in the South Island of New Zealand, was struck by a terrible tragedy on the 22nd of February this year when a 6.3 magnitude quake struck the city. Now, as I said, there's a large geocaching community down there. Papa Bear Left, also known as the Ump, one of the reviewers here in Australia, was a resident there for a while, and I've actually visited on two separate occasions and did some geocaching around there. And it really is a beautiful city. For those who haven't been there, it's very much like Adelaide, set there on the Avon River, and a lot of gorgeous buildings there that, having seen the pictures both on the TV and on the web, a lot of them have suffered damage. And it's going to be a number of years before the city rebuilds itself. And our thoughts go to everyone in the Christchurch region who have been affected by the tragedy, and we hope that you get back on your feet soon. Now, to help as part of that rebuilding process, Kevin Swain from Geocaches NZ online store dropped me an email last week about a fundraiser that he, along with Alan from geostuff.com.au and Oak Coins, put together to raise funds for the earthquake victims. Now, the GeoCoin they've put together features the New Zealand flag along with Christchurch 22-2-2-0-11 written on it, which is the date of the earthquake. The coin will cost 15 New Zealand dollars or 10 Australian dollars, and the profits from that sale will go to the Red Cross Christchurch Earthquake Appeal. So you can head to the two websites there. If you're in New Zealand, go to geocaches.co.nz, or here in Australia, geostuff.com.au. And if you're from overseas, check those two out, either one. And also, if you wanted to donate directly to the Red Cross, the web address is www.redcross.org.nz. And while we acknowledge and mention the earthquake over there in Christchurch, we shouldn't forget our friends in various parts around Australia also who are still suffering, despite the fact that the floods have long gone, as well as the cyclone. And so our thoughts go to our friends in Queensland, Victoria, New South Wales and WA who are still doing it hard after the floods and Cyclone Yasi. Don't forget you can still send donations to the Queensland Premier's Flood Appeal, and that's www.qld.gov.au/floods, and look for the donate link there, and also to the Red Cross Australia, www.redcross.org.au. Well, here's hoping things settle down for the rest of 2011 and it doesn't throw any more surprises. And once again, congratulations to the geocaching team of Krypton 2, Guano Gerbil, Geocoolie, Quinella and Zorgan for that 262 finds over in New Zealand. Well, until next time, and we'll catch you on a normal episode of GeoTalk, safe geocaching.